So who's ready for the word? Who's ready to hear what God has to dropped into me this morning about 8 o'clock? You got to love it when God changes your message at the last minute, but it's okay. When I was in here praying this morning, the Lord said, it's time for a breakthrough into greater glory. We've got to have a greater measure of glory, the greater weight of glory. Before I get into the scriptures, remember that in the Old Testament, the word for glory is kabod, and it is a weight. So when the glory comes, in fact, I felt the waves of glory coming in this morning when he would just kind of settle in on us. And typically when that happens, you either have an expression, an explosion of worship, or everything gets real still. And it can be either way. So don't presume it's one thing or another. Be very sensitive to what Holy Spirit's doing, because he is bringing an increase of his glory so that then can be a breakthrough of glory in the nation and in the nations of the world. Okay, why is this not working? That is not good. There we go. Maybe. Don't you love it when your technology doesn't work? Exodus 33. This has been one of my favorite passages for decades. So I'm just going to read it and then we'll go on from there. Starting in verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, 'I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Isn't it interesting that Moses asked for favor when God had just said he had favor? I always find that interesting, but I believe it. Moses was in this place. He's looking at a people who were so rebellious, and that regardless of all the signs, wonders, and miracles God had revealed, and they got a little discouraged because Moses went up the mountain and they built a golden calf. And so he's like, "God, are you serious? You want me to go with these people? I mean, they've seen all of this, and yet they go back to their old stuff. They go back to their old idols. They go back to their old forms of worship." And God's saying, Moses is saying to God, "If you don't go with me, how do I dare move forward with these people?" I can feel his frustration at times. Don't you feel the frustration even with yourself at times? Because we know we are so prone to step back into what was rather than to press into what God has for us. The children of Israel were so familiar with Egypt. They had a house. They had food. They had all kinds of things going on. Now, they were oppressed. They were having to make more bricks with less. They were beaten. They were in all kinds of, but they had a home they could go to. They had food they could eat. They were under a Pharaoh system, but they could also see their blessings. How many times have we been in a Pharaoh system and in oppression and all kinds of things, and yet God says, "Come out, come out, come out." Yeah, but what does coming out look like? And you come out and all of a sudden your surroundings don't look familiar anymore. Anybody else come out into a new place and where you're walking now doesn't look like what you're used to? And there's a part of us that always wants to move back to the familiar. That is where we are as a nation right now. It's where the church is as in this nation, and I believe even worldwide. I did a Zoom call with a group that originated out of Geneva, Switzerland, with people from several different continents. And we're all in the same place. Life doesn't look like it looked a few years ago. COVID was a divine reset. Did it have all kinds of evil agendas attached to it? Absolutely. But it was God saying, okay, I'm going to allow the enemy to do my work and cause a divine reset in my people, because they're so comfortable with life as it is, and they're so comfortable with church as usual, that I must have a divine reset to move you beyond what you've known. A year ago, I was scheduled for shoulder surgery. My husband and I went away for a few days just to have a break before I went into recovery, which I was not looking forward to. On the last day, I wasn't feeling well. So I went and I thought, well, I've already had my pre-surgery COVID test, but I really feel horrible. So I'm just going to make sure, because last thing I want to do is go under anesthesia and all of that and be sick. So I went and got another COVID test. Guess what? I had COVID. And Holy Spirit, as I was waiting on the test, said, this is a divine delay. It's a divine reset. So yeah, I had COVID for a few days. I rested. It was a nice little break, actually. Not that I'm making light of COVID. Don't hear that. But I was glad I didn't have to have surgery. And I thought, okay, well, is this just delaying it or what? And he said, no, I want you to make some adjustments to your life, and I'll bring healing to your shoulder. So you notice I don't use a handheld microphone anymore. That was the shift. I had no idea. It was the thing that caused my shoulder to be messed up. So he said, get rid of the handheld microphone, and my shoulder got healed. See, it was a divine delay that resulted in a divine reset. God used something as ridiculous as COVID to stop me from the surgery that we thought I was supposed to have. See, God can do things in order to shift your focus, shift your direction, shift what you're doing, because he wants to bring us into another dimension of glory. He wants to shift us into another place of moving with him in faith. It was a step of faith. As bad as my shoulder hurt last year, it was a real step of faith for me to go, okay, then I'm not going to have this surgery. And then just to walk out the process. See, we're in that journey right now as the church of walking out of a process of we thought we had to have this. And God's saying, no, just watch. I'm about to shift your mindsets. I'm about to shift the way you operate. I'm about to shift the measure of favor that is upon you. You're not going to just hear me say that you've got favor. You're going to know you have favor. See, there's a whole lot of difference between God telling you you've got favor and you realizing you've got favor. That's where God's taking us. So let's keep going with this passage. Starting in verse 15. Then Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. Can you just say, if your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to camp out right where I am until I see that cloud moving. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are on the face of the earth? I want to stop right there for a minute. What distinguishes us from all the other peoples of the earth is not that we call ourselves Christian. It's that we carry the presence and the favor of God. And the presence and the favor and the grace of God should be so strong upon us that when we walk into darkness, light scatters. When you look at somebody, when you're out and about in the world, you should see the light of God in their eyes, and they should see it in you. See, we've got to quit thinking we're like everybody else. Now, that's not to think we're better than. We just have the grace and the favor of God. We're not dead in our trespasses and sin. We have been made alive. Do you know what being alive is? A lot of times we walk around like dead people, and God says, wait a minute, did I not raise you from the dead? Why are you looking like you're dead? Come on. My grandson, when he was about 3 years old, would not get his way, and he'd just go, I can't get over it. Come on, we got to get over it. Let the life of God that's in you shine so that the nations around you will see and know that the God that you proclaim is your God is your God. They need to see it in you. They need to observe the grace and the favor of God upon you. I believe this is what Moses was looking for, and it's what we must look for. We've got to have a greater measure. And the Lord said to Moses in verse 17, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. Again, God says to Moses, you found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. What is the name God calls you? And we all call each other, you know, by our names. But what is it in that intimate place with the Lord that he calls you, that you know that he's talking to you and not to anybody else? See, all of our journey, our corporate journey, has to be built on a foundation of God knowing your name and you knowing that he knows your name. See, it's one thing for you to know he knows Nathaniel's name. But what about him knowing your name? About knowing that secret place where he talks and speaks to you about the secret things of your heart that perhaps nobody else on the planet knows about. But God begins to speak to you so that you have a confidence to walk with him. See, God communing with us in that way is not just to make us feel good and all. It's about building a confidence in us. Because when you know God knows you and God cares about you, there is a breaker anointing of confidence that comes on the inside. Because when you know that you've heard the voice of God and you know he's called you by name and he's spoken directly to you, then you can walk out in a bold confidence that cannot be shaken. So this is what God was doing for Moses, and it's what he wants to do for us. Then Moses said in verse 18, I pray, show me your glory. He knew his presence. Had his favor. He knew and knew his name. But there's still something more. Show me your glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. The Lord wants to reveal his glory to you so that he might reveal his glory through you. See, as we see his glory, we're changed. Moses said, I want to see your glory. I want to see you. And see, it's interesting to me that the first thing he said he would do is, I'm going to pass before you and you're going to see my goodness. And then I'm going to proclaim my name to you. One of the things, I know a few weeks ago I told you all to start writing out the Psalms. Well, I have a new assignment for you. Start proclaiming the names of God. Make a list. And just in your prayer time, in your praise time, in your worship, begin decreeing the names of God. That reveals His glory. As you begin to release, you are El Gabor, the mighty warrior. You are El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. You are my God. You are my King. You are my Lord. You are my everything. You are the lover of my soul. You are the victorious one. You are the King of glory. You are the great I am. You are the I am that I am. You are the one who rescues. You are Jehovah Shema, the God who is with me. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals me. You are Jehovah Sitkanu, my righteousness. You are everything that I need and more. I'll tell you, if you'll begin just to decree the names of God, it'll shift atmosphere. It'll shift the way you think. It'll shift the way you live. It'll shift the way you see God. Because for whatever you're going through, there's a name of God that meets it. If you need a list of names, let me know. I have some. I have a couple of pages that are just filled with the names of God. I'll tell you, that calling on the names of the Lord and rehearsing it, and then when God lands on one that you need, just sit there. Meditate on it. Pray it. Study it. Get to know it. Get to know Him in that name will change you. The practice of doing that and then declaring and decreeing who He says I am is probably would be the two things that I would say changed my life more than anything else. Because it gets you rooted and grounded in the Word of God, not in the circumstances that are around you. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 12. And this is about Moses again. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to write it down or take a picture of this slide. Because Moses had a glory. He had a glory. He had been with God. God, by His own finger, wrote the word on tablets. But remember this, He wrote the word on stone tablets then. He writes the word on tablets of your heart now. That's more glorious. It's far more glorious. Look at verse 8. Yet how much more radiant is this new and glorious ministry of the Spirit that shines from us. See, Moses had the word written on tablets of stone. We've got the word written on tablets of our heart. Moses had the Spirit that he would communicate with outside. We have the Spirit of God who dwells in us. It's more glorious. And it goes on in verse 9, for if the former ministry of condemnation was ushered in with a measure of glory, how much more does the ministry that imparts righteousness far excel in glory? See, when the Spirit of God comes into you through faith in Jesus, there is an impartation of righteousness, of right standing with God, that the fruit of that then becomes right living. Religion often teaches us about the right living. And God says, we'll take care of the right living. Get your right standing. Find out who you are in me. Find out what I have given you through the blood of Jesus. Find out who it is that I am that lives on the inside of you. I don't just walk beside you. I'm on the inside. Yes, He surrounds us. But He doesn't just surround us. He fills us. How much more glorious is that? I love that God's around us, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm more excited about Him being on the inside. Verse 10, for once what was glorious no longer holds any glory because of the increasingly greater glory that has replaced it. Listen to that phrase, increasingly greater glory. See, the glory you had yesterday is not the glory you're to have today. Every day should be a greater, ever-increasing measure of glory in your life. Don't be satisfied with yesterday. Don't even look back to the day when you had this supernatural, wonderful, glorious encounter with the Lord and you felt His presence and you felt His glory, but don't live there. Let that build faith in you, but keep going. I love rehearsing some of the things God's done from days gone by to build my faith, to stir up joy in me. But I don't want to live there. See, if you choose to live in what was, you'll go into nostalgia. And you'll simply want to reinvent that moment. Religion is made up of reinventing moments. How many of you have specific songs that you know that if you go into singing that song, you're going to feel a certain thing? That's called nostalgia. Now, God can use it, but don't camp there. Because, see, if you stay there, you're missing what's here. You're missing where God wants to encounter you today. I think y'all are pondering that one. Because we all like nostalgia. I mean, we all want Christmas to be the same way, right? We have certain traditions. We want, you know, certain people sitting around the table. We want certain foods. We want everything to be a certain way. Well, we come into our worship the same way. Because we love nostalgia. Because it feels good. And I'm just going to insert this here. The presence is not for us to feel good. The presence always comes for a purpose. Always a purpose. Always, always a purpose. Verse 11. The fading ministry came with a portion of glory, but now we, I love that, but now we embrace the unfading ministry of a permanent impartation of glory. You got to love the Passion Translation. Talk about making it tangible. The unfading ministry of a permanent impartation of glory. So then, with this amazing hope living in us, we step out in freedom and boldness to speak the truth. See, a lot of times we try to speak the truth out of our own understanding, out of our own, maybe our own boldness, because some of us in this room are pretty bold personalities. I know you, right? I know me. But see, there's a difference of speaking out in boldness in our personality and speaking out of boldness born of the glory. When that permanent, ever-increasing impartation of glory fills you up and you know that you're moving out of the glory, there's a boldness to speak that is not human. I'm a pretty bold personality, very extroverted, the whole deal, but there is a boldness that comes in the glory that doesn't look like me in the natural. See, that's the way it should be with all of us. Don't depend on your own human nature. So what is glory? Glory is the goodness of God, the holiness of God, the majesty of God, the power of God, the love of God, the beauty of God, the manifest presence of God. How many of you want the glory? And these are just some of the things that the glory contains. But what if we just had these? What if our homes were filled with goodness, holiness, majesty, power, love, beauty, and the presence of God? What if this house was so filled with the goodness, holiness, majesty, power, love, beauty, and manifested presence of God that it burst out of the room and flowed down the streets? That's what I want. I want there to be such a flow of the river of God, of His glory and His goodness flowing out of here that people in this community can't help but be touched by the glory of God. I pray that not just for this house, but for every house of worship around the region. See, we've got to get out of this thing of it just being about us. Yes, we contend because we have a purpose that God's given us. But I want the church around the corner and the church around that corner. I want all of the people that are gathering together to worship the Lord to be so filled with glory that the community cannot stay the same. Can't stay the same. We're not going to do it by just having church. We've got to have glory, greater glory. So some of the purposes of glory. If you take a look at Moses, what Moses wanted, he wanted the glory to go with him because he needed protection, right? Do we need protection in our hour? Yes. Does our nation need protection? Absolutely. Do the nations of the world need protection? Do the people of the world need protection? One of the people on the call that I did yesterday afternoon is from an organization trying to keep peace in the south of Sudan, where they're in incredible danger. They need the glory of God. If they don't have the glory of God to hide them in times when they're under attack, they're not going to make it. See, sometimes in our country, we forget what other countries are going through. We forget the dire dangers that are out there. But let me tell you something, we need the glory here. We need to be a people that are so declaring and decreeing the glory over our communities that something like happened outside of Hoover, Alabama on Thursday night with a young woman who stopped to help a toddler walking down the highway, and now they're both missing. We need greater glory. We need greater glory. She's a worshiper. See, this kind of stuff is just stirring me up right now. And I'm like, God, if that this is happening under our watch, we need greater glory. We need a greater understanding of who You've called us to be to break through the veil of darkness that is allowing innocent children and innocent young people and innocent older people to be taken captive, to be murdered, and to be destroyed. We need greater glory. We need to have a weight of glory that when we say, not on my watch, it carries weight. I'm tired of reading about a mass shooter in a community of Georgia, of Atlanta, Metro Atlanta, on the run, killed 4 people yesterday morning and on the run. Not on my watch. God, give us enough glory that we can call for the exposure for them to be brought into being caught and brought to justice. Greater glory in the house. Greater glory in your house. Greater understanding that by the glory and the grace of God, we are responsible to put a shield of protection by the glory of God over our communities. Our community should be the safest place on the planet to live. Let that convict us. It does me. That because of the glory of God in us, wherever we are, evil cannot come near. And if it comes near, it gets exposed. Yes. Am I fired up? Yes, because I'm tired of seeing the innocents destroyed. Another purpose of glory is overcoming demonic oppression. And if I can say it this way, overcoming depression. See, there's too many people in our society and even within the church that are battling depression. Now, I have great compassion for people who battle depression. I've had my own rounds with it when I was going through tough stuff and just feeling like the weight of the world is on you and you can't find your way out. The key to breaking out of it, though, was greater glory. Yes. we've got to stop giving into it and pressing into a place of praise, pressing into a place of greater glory, pressing into a place. And if you need some help, get some help. But don't just give into it. Part of what I have observed is the weight of life gets on people and they go, well, this is just the way it is. I heard a statistic a number of years ago about mega church pastors. The percentage of mega church pastors that are on antidepressants every single day is way above 50%. There's something wrong. Something way wrong. There's a lot of reasons for that. Part of it is, traditionally speaking, pastors get too much stuff put on them that they shouldn't be doing. And you just can't carry the weight of everything. And there's so much stuff put on them that they don't have time to do the main thing. And when you're trying to do all the work of ministry without the presence and the glory, it will put you into depression. But see, we've got to have a greater weight of glory so that not only can demonic oppression and depression not come on us, but that we have the grace and the glory of God to see other people set free. Because depression's real. Oppression is real. But when the finger of God comes among you, there's deliverance. It's time for us to have so much glory in our midst that if somebody with a demon walks in here, they manifest and we get them delivered. It doesn't scare me. If somebody comes in here and manifests, we're going to say, okay, go get them delivered. Take them out in the hall, get them delivered, let's be done. And it's not out of an anger, it's out of a, I am angry at the devil for taking people and causing them to be in captivity. See, the glory penetrates and dispels darkness. Look at the darkness in our nation right now. It's beyond anything that I could have ever imagined. I mean, even when I look back to the years of my journey that the Lord's had me on since 1988, I could have never, ever imagined the darkness that we have in the world right now. And that it's accepted, it's celebrated, and good is called evil, and evil is called good. We must have a greater glory to dispel the darkness. We need to have individually carrying such glory that when somebody around us starts manifesting evil, they go, oh, I'm sorry. Come on. Why not? Why shouldn't the presence and the glory of Holy Spirit in you bring conviction on the people around you? See, this whole thing of tolerance, I don't have to be intolerant. I just need to show up in the glory. And then I'm going to get accused of being intolerant because the Spirit of God is not tolerant. Come on. We've got a whole bunch of the church out there saying the Holy Spirit is okay with all this mess. He's not. He is not okay with this. He is not okay with transgenderism. He is not okay with having drag queen shows for children. He's not okay with it. So walk in glory. In fact, I want to challenge you. If they have another one around, some of us go to it. Not with our children, please. But some of us who are prayed up and filled with glory show up. Are we bold enough to do that? That just came out of my mouth. It is not in my notes. But I'm telling you, we've got to begin moving into a place that we're not afraid to go into darkness. Jesus went into darkness. He wasn't afraid of the darkness getting on him. He knew the glory in him was greater than the darkness that was in the world. And if he walked in, somebody somewhere was going to have a wake-up call. And then he was going to lead them in to love and deliverance. What's wrong with us? Religion taught us to be afraid of darkness. Went to Japan years ago and had all these people telling me, now don't go into the temples. Now I understand, if you're not ready, don't. I mean, so don't go do stuff that God hadn't told you to do. But I went and my friend said, let's go over here to the Buddhist temple. So I said, okay. So we walk in, and I'm just praying in the spirit. I'm worshiping. I'm singing worship songs. I'm standing in front of this great big Buddha, and I'm just proclaiming the name of Jesus. See, I wasn't afraid of it. Because there were people in there that needed light to shine into their darkness. Because they had their children there tying their prayers on a tree outside. That's not, those prayers on a tree aren't going to do them any good. But the light and glory of God would. We need to go into darkness. Because the light of God in us is to penetrate and dispel the darkness. Because as we go, we're to reveal Christ by the glory of God in us. Because it is Christ in us. It unlocks, as I said earlier, under the demonic oppression, it unlocks deliverance and healing. See, I don't think the glory is just to make us feel good. And I really am pondering why we don't see more healings. Why we don't see more deliverance. I think it's a limitation of the glory. And the problem isn't God. There's no problem with him. Therefore, the problem has to be with us. There has to be something. But see, the glory helps to facilitate breakthrough. When you get into the place of the glory and the Spirit of God is bubbling up in you and moving through you and taking you into a way that you see things as they are in the Spirit, not just as they are in the natural, you have the keys of breakthrough. Because there's a boldness that comes in glory that you don't have otherwise. There's a clarity, there's strategy, there's a surge of the person and the presence and the goodness of God that breaks in to bring a breakthrough. Colossians 1:27 out of the Passion says, living within you is the Christ who floods you, I love that, floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. See, the glory on the inside of you is not just for you. The glory on the inside of you is so that everyone knows Christ. It's so that everyone can see and know that there is a difference in the people of God because they're filled with glory. They're filled with the riches of glory. Can you just imagine for a minute the treasure chest of glory that's on the inside of you? I want you to see it as a treasure chest for a minute. Now, is your treasure chest locked, closed and locked, or is it open? See, sometimes we have a treasure chest that we have closed because we want to keep what's on the inside. We want to hold on to what's on the inside. Kids often have a treasure chest. You know, they keep their most prized possessions. It may be a rock out of the yard. It may be a little trinket. It may be all kinds of things. But it's in their treasure chest. And they close the lid, and sometimes it'll have a little lock on it so that nobody can get what's in their treasure chest. But do we sometimes do the same thing? Do we sometimes lock up the Spirit of God on the inside of us? Because somebody may not honor the treasure that's in us. Somebody may take the treasure that's in us. Well, here's the deal about the glory of God. Give it away, you get more. Part of the reason we don't get more is we don't give it away. We don't share. The more you let glory flow out of you, guess what? The more that comes in. So open up the treasure chest and let the glory flow out of you. You see, we're to be carriers of the glory. We are to be changed from glory to glory as we behold Christ so that we can carry glory. How is the glory increased? It's increased by surrender. The more you surrender, the more you have a capacity for glory. If you're holding on and you want your life for your own and you want things the way you want, you have all your life in this compartmentalized boxes, and glory is allowed on Sunday morning from 10:30 to 12:30 or maybe a little later, then the rest of your life is not going to be filled to overflowing with glory. But when you surrender all, then all of your life becomes filled with glory. Glory is revealed by your obedience. As you step out in obedience to God and what He tells you to do, doing what He tells you to do, saying what He tells you to say, going where He tells you to go, there is an unlocking and a flow of glory. And glory is always manifested through love. As you love people, and particularly as you love the unlovely, when people treat you poorly at all, and the glory of God just says, answer them with a kind word, it's an opportunity for glory to be revealed. And in our day and age, especially if you're driving on the highways in Atlanta, you have lots of opportunity. It's very, very true. And glory is displayed in compassion. It's interesting that when God was talking to Moses, He said, I will be compassionate to who I'll be compassionate to. Show mercy to whom I'll show mercy to. That's an expression of His glory. See, we need to be a people that are surrendered, obedient, filled with love, walking in obedience, so that glory can be released through us in power. We need the glory released in power. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 says, so no wonder we don't give up. For even though our outer person gradually wears out, our inner being is renewed every single day. We view our slight, short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal, weighty glory far beyond all comparison. Because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal. What the enemy always seeks to do is get us to focus on the temporal. To focus on the temporary, to focus on whatever it is that's bothering us at the moment, whatever the trouble is. And as soon as we begin focusing on that, rather than keeping our eyes on the Lord, because He will give you the answer and the strategies to know how to answer the trouble in the moment. But when your focus shifts to the seen realm and out of the unseen realm, you begin to lose the reality of the glory. And I believe this is a challenge for us right now, that we would not look at what's going on around us. That doesn't mean to be ignorant. It just says don't let it grab your focus. Don't let it get your full attention. Pay attention to it enough to know, but move on. Keep going. Keep moving by the Spirit. Psalm 24, 7 through 10. And I want you to hear this today as I decree it over you. That you are a living gateway. A lot of times we take this passage and we're looking out at the gates of a city, of a state, or a region. But this morning, I want you to see yourself as a living gateway. So wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your heads, you doorways of eternity. That's who you are. Welcome the King of Glory, for he is about to come through you. You ask, who is this King of Glory? Yahweh, armed and ready for battle. Yahweh, invincible in every way. So wake up, you living gateways, and rejoice. Fling wide, you eternal doors. Here he comes. The King of Glory is ready to come in. You ask, who is this King of Glory? He is Yahweh, armed and ready for battle, the mighty one, the invincible commander of heaven's host. Yes, he is the King of Glory. He is the King of Glory. So, Father, over each and every one of your people, we decree, lift up ancient gateways, lift up ancient doors. I decree over each and every person here, you are being filled with a greater measure of glory. The King of Glory is coming into you. Watch for him to move through you this week. Watch for him to bring change and transformation into you. Watch for him to put his finger on things that are blocking your blocking his glory from flowing through you. Father, in the name of Jesus, in this month of Av, by the King of Glory, I say, break the old cycles. Break out to break in to break through. And Father, I decree over us that unlike the children of Israel, that in this month were to go into the promised land, but they allowed the giants to turn them back. We will not be those that shrink back. But because we've seen you, O King of Glory, we will press on until we see the fullness of the victory that you have secured, that instead of this month of being a month of sobriety and a month of defeat, it will be a month of victory and a month of celebration. So, Father, let the celebration begin and let your glory be revealed in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. I bless you all. Go in the glory of God and do not shrink back. And join us down the hall for a birthday celebration, and then we'll be back on Tuesday. Most of you gave during the service, but if you have not, they'll put up the screenshot for giving online or come and give. I got so taken in the moment of today, we didn't go there, but most of you were giving during time as Holy Spirit led you. So I bless you all.